on 98 FM and online. This is Phoenix FM.
Thank you for being a friend. Travel down a road and back again. Your heart is true, you're a pal and a confidant. I'm not ashamed to say, I hope it always will stay this way. My hat is off, won't you stand up and take a bow?
Phoenix FM, proudly sponsored by SEHBAC, the award-winning home improvement company for windows, doors, conservatories and extensions.
This evening it will be dry and often cloudy overnight in the north. Meanwhile, some rain is likely across the far south, but probably easing by the morning. Becoming windy with a risk of coastal gales in the south, the minimum temperature will be 4 degrees Celsius. Tomorrow it will be windy and mostly cloudy. At first becoming brighter with sunny spells developing through the morning. Coastal gales will be possible initially in the south, but winds slowly easing. Maximum temperature will be 8 degrees Celsius, and that is your weather.
Weather on Phoenix FM. Sponsored by SEHBAC, the award-winning home improvement company, proudly serving Essex for over 50 years. Contact us on 0800 666 444 or visit sehbac.com for help with your home.
Hello and welcome to the Arts Programme on Phoenix FM. It's almost the end of February and we can see signs of spring in the air. Have you seen all the daffodils, narcissi and crocuses popping up? There are buds on the trees and even the start of some blossom. It's all over the path near where we live.
It is.
We're ever hopeful for the sights and sounds of spring. So this week we're going to share some ideas of where you can go to put a spring in your step if you're looking to explore your creative practice as an artist.
And we'll also have lots of things to do indoors in Essex, as spring also means a fair bit of rain. We'll share our thoughts on the awards season and with the eagerly awaited Oscars, and we'll have the usual roundup of national news to keep you in the loop. Our playlist is all things spring related, so tune in, sit back and let's get on with the show. I'm Claire.
And I'm Natalie, and this is the Arts Programme on Phoenix FM.
Winter's on the wing, here's a fine spring morn. Coming clean through the night, come where may I see. Winter's taking flight, sweeping dark cold air out to sea. Spring is born, comes the day I see, and you'll be here to see her. Stand and breathe it all our day. Stop and feel it. Stop and hear it. Spring, I say. And now the sun is climbing high, rising fast on fire, glaring down through the gloom, gone the grey I see. The sun spells the doom of the winter's rain. Ice and chill must retire, come the May I see. And you'll be here to see it. Stand and breathe it all our days. Stop and feel it. Stop and hear it. Spring, I say. I say, be gone, ye howling gales. Be off, ye frosty morns. All ye solid streams begin to fall. Melt ye waterfalls, part ye frozen winter walls. See now it's starting. And now the mist is lifting high, leaving bright blue air rolling clear across the moor. Come the May I stay. The storm will soon be by, leaving clear blue sky. Soon the sun will shine, come the day stay high. And you'll be here. Go stand and breathe it all the day. Stop and feel it. Stop and hear it. Spring, I say.
Tell me about this, Natalie. This is The Secret Garden.
That was Winter's on the Wing from the Secret Garden original Broadway cast recording.
Nice.
Obviously chosen by Charlotte.
Thank you, Charlotte.
In a lonely manner. It might be lovely as
well. It might be lonely and lovely.
Lonely and lovely.
Some people like being lonely.
Yes. And that's a different show.
That's a different show, yeah. Anyway, this one is from the book, yes?
In a lonely manor house on the Yorkshire moors, Archibald Craven is stifled by his manipulative brother and yearns for his late wife, all the while becoming more isolated and remote from his disabled son. But their quiet routine is turned upside down when young Mary Lennox is sent to live with them following the death of her parents in India. She finds a secret walled garden hidden in the grounds, and with the help of a few friends, realises the magic and adventure locked inside, changing their lives forever. Doesn't that sound nice? It is exactly the story of the book.
Classic adaptation there.
Yes.
And is this one that Charlotte has seen?
I don't know.
She didn't do any personal comments on this one?
No personal comments. But actually, it's one that I've not heard of before at all. So the fact that it's on Broadway, it's probably unlikely that she's seen it in person.
I'm just looking to see whether it's been in the UK. It has been in the UK.
It has.
It was a touring. Concord Theatricals was touring with it. I don't know if it's still out there at the moment. It's a classic story, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
The Secret Garden has lots of appeal for lots of different age groups, I think, and people who kind of, you know, read it first time round or read it to their children, and it kind of keeps on going, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's a bit timeless, I think, that one.
It is timeless, and also shows the health benefits of
gardening
and
yes.
gardening and all of the nice yes. things that gardens can bring.
Absolutely. So,
just like springtime, which is the theme of the show.
Yes. Oh, how well you did that.
Yeah. Good. Good choice, Charlotte.
Yes, well,
the segue into
yeah. That. Well, we thought because we don't have any guests on the show this week. We've got lots of guests next week, and we've had lots of guests in the previous weeks, and so we just thought we'd just take a little pause to celebrate spring because
the year
sprung.
Has gone so quickly already.
I know, and because next week it's March.
It is.
And I just think, oh my goodness me, I've just got back from Christmas. I'm still saying Happy New Year to people.
I was looking through Christmas presents today.
Were you?
Just kind of reorganising.
All the ones that you haven't quite put away yet.
Yeah. Things are still in bags.
I've got a bag next to my bed.
Next to the pile of ironing. It's really bad.
Yes, one of my piles of ironing got done. I've got the other one to do. But this week, how's your week been? You've been busy this week. You had your wonderful number fair. How did that go?
It went really, really well, actually. We were a little bit quiet in the morning, but as soon as it started raining, everyone just flooded into the shopping centre. And I was quite surprised at the draw of supporting people with maths and numbers. I think there are a lot of people out there that just feel a little bit inadequate around numbers and maths. And
sometimes very wrongly so.
Yeah.
When sometimes there's almost, depending on what lessons, what teacher you've had as well, I think, really kind of makes a difference to how you think you behave around maths. I know with my children, when they've had really good teachers, they've felt really confident in maths. And when they haven't had such good instruction, they feel like they don't understand it at all and the whole thing's gone.
Yeah. And a little bit of fun that's linked up to that kind of helps. We did a higher or lower game with a big kind of giant cards, massive board, higher or lower stand. And it was a bit like a game show. And the children that were playing that, their eyes just lit up at the fact that not only were the cards massive, but they learnt what probability was and they could put it into action.
Yeah.
Which is really fun.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed that. But we have
That was a game show, wasn't it? That was Brucey's...
Yeah.
Was it Bruce Forsyth who did the higher and lower with the big picture card, the big playing cards?
Play your cards right. Yes. Yeah, so it's very much like that.
Who knew that when we were watching that in the 80s, we were learning maths.
Learning about probabilities.
Learning probability, yes.
Probabilities.
Well, there you go.
So the big flagship event for the Number Fair, which is part of the London Multiplier Roadshow, is this Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And artist Charlotte Trower is going there on behalf of No Collective. She's going to make a giant light sculpture out of geodesic dome.
Nice.
And you can learn all about triangles and how to draw them and tessellate them.
Oh, fabulous. I love a triangle.
Doesn't it just send chills down your back?
I love a triangle. No, I love literally do love triangles. I have a business called Triangle. I love them. Somebody else was saying that to me as well this week, that somebody else loves triangles.
You need to find other businesses also called Triangle and just link
get
up
together
and become one massive triangle.
In triangles, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And busy preparing for the Horror Festival, which is next weekend.
Yeah. So finalising the bar planning. So Charlotte Bays, as well as being a musical maestro, she also has planned all of the thematic cocktails
nice.
For next week. So I've been putting those together on kind of the funded element of them, making sure I buy all of the alcohol that goes in them.
Yes.
Yes.
Always helpful.
Yes. And tonight we are revealing the nominations of the awards live on Nerdly's Facebook. So that will be fun. Tune into that. We're going for... as Spencer puts it, a Eurovision-themed nomination readout. So,
okay,
yeah,
cool.
That should be quite a lot of fun to watch.
Fantastic. And was the Taylor Wessing Photo Prize something that you went to?
Yeah, so I had a day off this week.
Yay!
Yay, I know. I went to see Joe
My friend Dave, yeah. He was a teacher, so obviously it's half term for him, and we went for a day out in London,
and
we went to see some art. So we chose the Taylor Wessing Photo Portrait Prize, so obviously that was judged in November in 2023. And just had a nice day perusing artworks and looking in...
Hanging out in London.
The National Portrait Gallery shop, nice. Which is a joy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, well, all art shops.
Art gallery shops.
Gallery shops. Ooh. Oh, just, yeah, love them. Well, that's nice. I'm going to London next Saturday. I'm going up to Tate Britain to go and see exhibitions there. So I'm looking forward to that. I shall report back.
Is there anything
back.
In particular that
it's the
see?
I can't remember what it's called. It's the Women's Revolt one. I'm going to go and see that one.
Yeah, we went in there briefly in a Tate late.
Yeah.
It's quite fun. Guerrilla Girls and lots of cool things.
Yes, exactly. Yes. I'm going to go and see that. On Thursday, I drove into London in the evening.
Driving?
I know, it's mad. I was in Southampton all day in my other job, and I drove from Southampton, or I drove from Essex to Southampton, then Southampton to London. And because on Thursday at 12 o'clock until Friday at 12 o'clock lunchtime, so for 24 hours... Donne Music, Women in Music Foundation, was hosting a Guinness Book of Records world-breaking attempt to have 24 hours of music composed and created by women and non-binary artists. So this was all about a campaign to raise awareness of the fact that still in 2024, 9 out of 10 pieces of repertoire performed on by our global orchestras is composed by white men. And this was a project.
So that's not just men, that is white,
yes.
White men.
Wow. Yep.
That is,
and this was a project.
That's a statistic. 90%.
Yes. Yeah, it's terrible. And Donne Foundation's whole métier is about raising awareness of this and changing it for the better. And they do a number of things that help us do that, make that change. They have a directory on their website, which has a list of composers through the centuries. So there is absolutely no excuse of saying, oh, well, you know, we couldn't research any compositions by women from the 16th century. Rubbish, you can. They're all on the Donne website. So they give that resource, that directory. They also do big pieces of research every year. So they look at the global repertoire of orchestral concerts every year, and they look at the repertoires of what was played on those different evenings, and they crunch all of that data, and that's where we get to that kind of, you know, 90%.
In effect, it's a huge research centre.
It's a huge research centre, and they don't get anywhere near as much recognition for what they're doing as they should do. So the Guinness Book of World Records was an attempt to just bring this much more into the fore. It was held on Facebook Live, but it was also in person at the Brazilian Embassy, because Gabby, who is the chief exec, is Brazilian, so she had a huge amount of support from the Brazilian embassy. It was a global feat, so we had people listening all around the world. So I went up for a few hours on Thursday night to watch all these incredible performances. All the artists gave their time for free because they were really passionate about the campaign, which was amazing. And you know, it was just a kind of really simple but really beautiful event. And poor old Gabby.
She's 24 hours.
She was,
well.
Of course, wow. She was, and she's a singer, and so she performed a couple of times over the evening. But actually, what was glorious was they had more artists wanting to be part of it than they could actually put on the stage.
Oh, wow.
So it was a really lovely thing. Really, just a really nice vibe in the space, as well as watching it all night. So I didn't watch it all night. I had to go to sleep at some point, but I left it on all night. It was just going on in the background. So we haven't quite heard yet from the Guinness Book of World Records whether or not it's been met, the criteria has all been met, but we're hopeful that it has. So fingers crossed on that one. And it was a huge fundraiser. So if you want to help out with this charity and be part of the change, then you can go to Donne Foundation's website. All the details are on Instagram. You'll find Donne Women in Music everywhere on socials. But yeah, it was a fantastic thing. And thank you to all of my friends who either shouted it out on their various different radio shows or listened, signed up to be part of that change. So that was really, really cool. And hopefully there's going to be more. So we managed to get Donne into number 10 as well. So there's a round table meeting coming in the future with representatives from number 10 and other music bodies. So sort of really sort of talking about actually equity on our stages is nowhere near. We're just nowhere near there yet. Yeah. So how do we make that happen? So there'll be more to come, which is rather exciting. So that was Thursday, a really, really long day. I was quite knackered on Friday after all of that driving and being up quite late. But last night, so I hadn't seen Wonka. And
I haven't seen Wonka.
Actually. Well, I recommend it. So happy birthday to Wendy, who had her birthday. I was going to say how old she was, and she might not want me to say that on the radio. She had her birthday on Friday, actually, and we celebrated it with her last night by watching Wonka. And actually, do you know what? I didn't rush out to the cinema to go and watch it. I was a bit indifferent, but I'm really glad I did. I thought it was really lovely, and fortunately, The Guardian agrees with me on this one, and it got a really good review in The Guardian. But there are lots of wonderful things. It is written by the same people who wrote Paddington, so it has a very Paddington feel.
And although heartwarming.
Yes, and although it's probably not as close to Roald Dahl's version of Willy Wonka. What it does really nicely is it ties into the Gene Wilder Willy Wonka and the Chocolate
and
Factory
lots
film.
Of, set.
Yes.
Placemaking where they've filmed in the same places as well.
And yes, there's placing and there's also music. The connection between the music, some of the sounds, the sounds that the Oompa Loompas make is the same, the whistle sound is the same, the dreaming song is brought back into this one. It's really lovely that they've tied it to that very first Gene Wilder film, and I think Timothy Chalamet really does quite a good version of Gene Wilder as Willy Wonka rather than the Johnny Depp. It's kind of doesn't speak to that Johnny Depp version at all.
No, but I feel like the Johnny Depp version was a version on its own.
Yes.
But I think people felt the same about the Johnny Depp version as they do about Gene Wilder, as it being kind of a staple of kind of growing up and understanding what Willy Wonka is.
Yes, and I think that...
And that connection to the book as well.
And I think the warmth for the Gene Wilder, Willy Wonka, and now and the warmth that the Timothy Chalamet one will have are very similar warmths. Yeah. I think they will stay together. But just to remind you that this is written by Simon Farnaby and writer-director Paul King. So Simon Farnaby, who is Ghosts, who is... The Horrible Histories, who is in Alan Partridge, you know, he's such an incredible actor. Yeah. I love his work. And he and Paul King wrote it together, and Paul King was from Paddington. And it's because it's, and he's in it actually. Simon Farnaby writes himself a very small part in it. Hugh Grant, of course, nearly
the
kind of
Palumpa, right?
Yeah, he nearly kind of steals the whole show. It's a good job he wasn't in it any more than he was, because I think if he'd been in it more, he probably would have stolen it. But so he was the original Oompa Loompa.
He was in the Paddington film as well.
And he sort of stole it almost in that as well. In his speech at the which one was it? Was it the BAFTAs or the... I think it was the BAFTAs. He was reading out Best Director category, and he did it in the style of an Oompa Loompa. He did it in a rhyming Oompa Loompa song. It was really great. I mean, he was kind of digitally reduced to this sort of 12-inch high Oompa Loompa, going back again to the original Oompa Loompas with the green hair, orange faces. And he just did his sort of slightly naughty, slightly aloof comedic Hugh Grant, which I think as he's got older, he's got so good at comedy. And so he does this kind of, you know, his thing, and he sort of goes, I can't stop now. I've gone into the dance. And he just kind of carries on. It's very good. We had a really lovely duo of, there's lots of interesting references in this film. So you've got Olivia Colman and Tom Davis, who you may recognise. I mean, I love Tom Davis. He's King Gary. He's been in a number of things. And these two play this kind of Sweeney Todd character. They work in the wash house. They're really evil. They're really mean. They oppress Wonka and all these other people.
I'd like to see Olivia Colman as an evil person,
yes, Olivia and Tom Davis just play this really cool, horrible couple, and they sort of they remind me a little bit of both Sweeney Todd, but also you know the bar couple in Les Miserables, the film.
Yeah.
The
Master of the House.
Master of the House. They kind of remind me a bit of that. They're really, really cool.
Sacha Baron Cohen.
Yes.
One of those characters, isn't they?
And then there's little bits of Fantastic Mr. Fox in here as well. So there's a bit about there was this moment where you had conversations through windows, and the way that some of the interventions and contraptions are presented felt very akin to Fantastic Mr. Fox. And then there's this wonderful piece of the three villains are Slugworthy and two other chocolate lords. So this is kind of bringing why Slugworthy, who was obviously in the Gene Wilder version, was there. It's kind of going back into his backstory as well. So you've got Matt Lucas, Patterson Joseph, and Matthew Bainton, which are again bringing some of the Horrible Histories guys back in. They are this trio of nastiness, which, you know, when you think of Fantastic Mr. Fox, you think of Boggis, Bunce, and Bean, the kind of three farmers in that show. So you've got these kind of lots of lovely little parallels to other things, and there's a few more ghost family members from that show in this as well. It was just really lovely, actually. And yeah, we all really enjoyed it, and there was lots to laugh at and lots to, you know, enjoy. So if you haven't seen it yet, definitely one to get on to your streaming services somewhere. Yeah. Let's have some music then, and we're going to start off our playlist with Donna Summer and A Spring Affair.
Thank you. Good evening. Why don't you follow me on my magical, mystical journey through time? What you've been waiting for. Come on now.
Celebrate a birthday, anniversary, or maybe an engagement soon? At Brentwood Golf Club, our fully licensed function room is perfect for your special occasion. With reasonable room hire, a fully stocked bar, and access to decorate your theme from 10 a.m, contact Stacey or Chanel in our functions team on 01277 375 101 to find out more. Brentwood Golf Club Function Room. Making your celebration that bit more special.
Do you or someone you know have a drug problem?
Talk to someone that has been there.
Narcotics Anonymous is a group of recovering addicts that has found a new way to live without the use of drugs.
For a confidential chat or to find your local meeting, call 0300 0800 999 1212, or visit our website ukna.org.
Take the first step to recovery.
Are you looking for a reliable local travel agent to book your next holiday? At Not Just Travel Brentwood, we can book tour operators such as Jet2 Holidays, TUI, Hayes Travel, and many more. We package any type of holiday together with full ATOL and APTA protection, giving you complete peace of mind. Visit our website, dinaandwarren.notjusttravel.com, and let us take away the stress of booking that dream getaway.
The all-new Players Lounge has got everything you need for the perfect night out, with two bars, a restaurant, and the best sound and lighting system in Essex. With regular special events and guest DJs, you're always guaranteed a brilliant night at Players. On the 5th of February, it's top DJ Roman Kemp. And on the 12th of February, it's the Stars of House with Marcus Dryden, Mickey Star Lewis, and Daryl Privet. Check us out and book now at players-lounge.co.uk.
Birds, they sing, a break of day. Start again, I hear them say. It's so hard to just walk away. The birds, they sing, all the choir. Start again, a little higher. It's a spark in a sea of grey. The sky is blue. Dream that light till it's true. Then take it back. The punch out through.
Was Coldplay with Up With The Birds, which is starting our spring theme of music. Now, one of the things that's spring makes me think about. I don't know about
springs
you.
Springs to mind.
It springs to mind, exactly. It's about learning new things. In spring, you know, there's often a period
of
time.
You get your energy back, don't you, in
where,
spring.
Yeah, and you might want to kind of think about what are the things that you're doing right now and what might you want to develop and learn new things. So we thought we'd share a few ways that you can explore your creative practice as artist this March and April, and also any time during the year. And there's some of these are incredible opportunities to take time out and have a creative retreat. And some of them are sort of more like online courses that you can fit in around other things. But anyway, here's a selection of some things that might help your creative juices flowing. The first one is an online course from the University of the Arts. This is Expand Your Creative Practice, which is designed to ignite and inspire your creativity with 4 weekly highly invigorating doses of drawing, painting, photography and collage. So good for people who want to do all of those things. Mm-hmm. It's most importantly though, it's for people who want to fulfill their creative potential whilst juggling the demands of a busy working social and family life. So you don't, this is the kind of the nice thing about you can fit these things in around some of your other busy schedules. You don't need to have any previous art and design experience, and you may have grown fearful of your sketchbook, or you might be curious to ignite that creative spark from scratch. This course makes art part of your everyday enjoyment, and I kind of like that idea that it becomes it's open to anyone at any level who wants to just bring art into your everyday. So it's online from the 8th of April for 4 weeks, and it's £420.
I believe with these as well, they use the practitioners that teach and support the BA Fine Art.
They do.
At University of Arts as well. So you've got some amazing tutors there as well. So you wouldn't have access to that unless you'd done your art A levels, etc. So, yeah, really great opportunity. There is Sit Lit.
Sorry, that was my shorthand. The City Lit.
Sit Lit.
Which has been going for, God, over 100 years, I think, the City Lit's been going.
And here you can develop your art practice over a weekend. So this is an advanced course for developing and practicing artists, and consists of work-based seminars facilitated by peers and artist tutors, which gives you the opportunity to develop your present work for critical discourse, which is fantastic if you're an artist maybe a couple of years fresh out of university, or you're feeling that you're kind of being dragged down by life's responsibilities and you just want to get back into actually making art again.
It is
very difficult when you leave that bubble of working with other artists. The course includes individual tutorials and mentoring, critical investigation via group crits, visits to galleries, artists run organizations, collaborative work and discussion and debate. Sounds great. I might go there now. The course is delivered on site and requires an application, and it is quite expensive, but it is good for those that are wishing to get deeper engagement in their practice. And it's not until October, so you can save your pennies.
It was over £1,000 for a weekend, but I guess what you're getting is all of that mentoring and support from those tutors, as well as that kind of, you know, one-to-one critical investigation.
It's almost like a crash course back into being a critical artist again.
For musicians though, over at the Institute of Contemporary Music Practice, they've got an opportunity for you to take your artist career to the next level as you'll learn to create, release and monetize your music. So if you are a budding musician or you have some experience of this, you might want a bit more guidance from music industry managers and professionals, and you'll discover how to grow your fan base, enhance your network and music business knowledge, craft impactful campaigns and promote your music releases. It's for 3 months, it's in the evenings, and it's at the ICMP's Kilburn and Queen's Park campus, which is in London. The next one starts on Tuesday, April the 16th, and I know quite a few musicians that have gone through that course, and it is really invaluable. So if you want to go and look at that, that's the ICMP, the Institute of Contemporary Music Practice.
Not very long to sign up for that one.
Yeah.
It's March next week.
I know.
If you have a mind for mindfulness in your art practice, then here is a course with Sally Ann Ashley, which might help you unlock your creativity and increase awareness, focus and clarity. So you can find this at www.sally-annashley.com. And it's a course which is guided with deep reflection, creative shift and guidance with prompts and exercises to explore understanding your work and its uniqueness. You can connect the threads in your work and trust your own path. It starts on the 1st of April and it's £695, but you can pay in instalments. It's all online, delivered over 10 modules over 8 weeks, and predominantly delivered via Zoom. In a private online portal, which you can watch as many times as you like. There will be live Q&A calls via Zoom and an opportunity to have your questions answered too. There's lots of community support to get you access for all the information for a year.
Yeah, and that's a good... My sister's done that one, so long-distance listener in Northumberland, who can't be with us today because she's listening to something else.
Oh!
She's doing a live listen on with something else, but
what's
she really...
Blood's thicker than water.
Well, when it's the arts program or it's she's done this one and she really enjoyed it, and I think the mindfulness thing is really important, and also just the kind of allowing you to have time to think about what your practice is doing, what it means to you, where it's trying to go, and the thing that she really enjoyed from it was kind of bringing all the threads in your work together and starting to see what your work's trying to say to you, because sometimes you're producing to sell for certain, you know, galleries or certain markets, but you're not really having that time to do some real proper kind of R&D of like, what am I going to
back? Yeah, what is this
saying to me? So she really got that from Sally Ann Ashley, and then you get all of the videos, all of the content that she's teaching. You get to access that over a year, so it's not just the 10 weeks. You can go back at any point and watch those videos again. Mm-hmm. So really good one there. For a creative retreat this time for craftspeople, I want to go on one of these. this is the craftscouncil.org.uk has a number of places that they recommend, and I've just taken a couple from those. The ones that I looked at and thought, oh, these look quite nice. This is a Xenia Creative Retreat in North Hampshire, and this is aimed at creatives in visual arts as well as literature, music and performance. It's a rural escape for those in search of solitude to pursue their endeavours. Guests are encouraged to stay between 2 weeks and 2 months, and the retreat offers a gallery space where artists can exhibit the works they've made during their stay. Past residents include sculptor Emma Witter, who works with animal bones, and ceramicist Christopher Riggio. So that's one in North Hampshire. I'm just going to finish a couple more of these because some of them sound, just so nice. If you're into basket making, willow work or coppice craft, you might want to go to the Woodlands Skills Centre in Wales for a £60 one-day course making rushback baskets for £300 for 5 days of timber frame building, including free camping. This is a delightful camping.
So cheap.
I know.
That's a holiday, right?
It is, and the campsite looks amazing too. So you can learn crafts amongst 50 acres of woodland, learn to work with willow, make baskets out of hazel and ash splint, shape three-legged stools out of green wood, or hone your survival skills with courses in traditional bushcraft. So everything that you might want if you're interested in being outdoors. If you're more of the harder crafts like blacksmithing and iron casting or bronze casting, ceramics and raku, go off to Scotland for a sculpture workshop.
So Wales for baskets,
yes.
Scotland for
Aberdeenshire
blacksmithing.
For blacksmithing and iron casting and ceramics. It's £100 for a weekend, and these open access rural workshops have been running for over 4 decades. Bronze casting classes use ancient methods and natural materials such as beeswax, clay, sand and horse manure, while iron casting workshops cover how to operate a furnace. Oh, that sounds so exciting. And prepare materials as well as finishing, polishing and cutting. And then finally, in the crafts area, Sandy Brown Arts is for people who want to get into ceramics and sculpture. It's £795 for 6 days, not including your accommodation, however. And ceramicist Sandy Brown runs a 6-day course centred on the notion of play, in which participants are encouraged to make instinctively, spontaneously and intuitively through painting, claywork, conversation and occasional trips to the beach. Courses are non-residential and attendees normally stay in the local B&B. So if that one's up,
and that's over in, so the West Country,
yes, very nice. Very nice.
So the beaches will be nice also.
Yeah, exactly. So you can look at all of those up on the Crafts Council's website, craftscouncil.org.uk. The next one I've got one. What have I got now? I've got one more, I think. Yeah, one more. So this one just sounded lovely.
For writers.
This is for writers, yeah. So I thought, and we've had quite a few writers on the programme, so there's actually two for writers. The Garsdale Retreat in the Yorkshire Dales. This sounds absolutely gorgeous. This is courses and also untutored retreats, so a place that you can go and learn or a place that you can just go and be. Their courses offer opportunities for new, emerging and experienced writers. The tutors are all professional writers and they lead workshops and give one-to-one tutorials as well. And it's all set in the beautiful Yorkshire Dales. So that's the Garsdale Retreat.co.uk. They have loads of different courses. So, for example, if you ever wanted to write your own memoir, there's one place left on the course starting on the 18th to the 23rd of March, suitable for writers of any level or experience or none whatsoever. So I was like thinking, I'll go on that, I need to start writing my memoirs. Yes, exactly. So if you fancied having a go at that, you can go after the Garsdale Retreat in Yorkshire. And the other one that I've known of for an awful long time, it's been going for decades, is the Arvon Foundation. So it's a charity that's been running rural retreats for a very long time. They have a range of in-person and also online writing courses, and they do offer some grants to help with course fees for artists. So you can do things like in-person residential writing week to start writing fiction and non-fiction, which is in the end of that's starting next week. They've also got starting to write a novel residential week, a masterclass on pushing the limits of the essay, and the Black Poets Masterclass showcase as well, which is on, those last two are online. So they do some online masterclasses as well as in-person retreats. But frankly, if you're going to do a retreat, you kind of want to go away, don't you, and do a retreat. Anyway, that was just a few things that we thought we might share with you to explore your creative practice this spring. And let's get back to our playlist and go back to the 80s with the Jesus and Mary Chain and April Skies.
Hey, honey, what you trying to say? As I stand here, don't you walk away. Love on the edge of a night, and the world.
That was Jesus and the Mary Chain with April Skies. So now we are back to, we've been talking about all things retreaty and exploring your creative practice. But now we're going to talk about some
A little bit of news, national news.
Very quickly, national news.
Very quickly. So there's some depressing news, which is
why we won't linger. We won't linger on the depressing news.
So 47 former Arts Council England national portfolio organisations have closed since 2018.
Gosh.
It's a lot, isn't it?
That's a big number, yeah.
Yeah, I was quite shocked by that. And I know that there's been an influx since the cuts were made last year. But, I mean, this is since 2018.
Yeah.
So it means that it's been going on for a bit longer than that.
And we shall wait and see what happens in the big Arts Council review. There's a really big deep dive into the Arts Council that the government has ordered. So we'll see what happens with that.
So in more fun news, the first night of a major Christie's auction of Sir Elton John's collection hit 8 million.
Wow.
8 million in one night.
That's amazing, isn't it?
I mean, if any man was going to do it, I guess.
And there's some Elton John fans out there.
Yes. Talking of the Tate, Maya Lee will be the next artist to take on the Tate Modern's Hyundai commission. So she'll be transforming the Turbine Hall from October.
Nice. Oh, I do love the Turbine Hall. I do love going and seeing things there.
Yeah, I look forward to what they're changing it into. And what I found most interesting this week is the shortlist of the next fourth plinth commission at Trafalgar Square, which has been announced, which includes a black cat and a sweet potato.
Okay.
Of course. So I've put in the show notes some pictures and
we can put these on the website afterwards, can't we?
Yeah, which we will add. If you haven't seen them already, they are all very, very different in terms of their style and the reasons why they've been chosen. So let's talk about the cat first.
Yes.
Because this is probably the most eye-catching one. And in some ways, this is my favourite out of all of them. So it's called Believe in Discontent, and it's by Ruth Ewan. So her work generally addresses the ideas of power and representations of time, repression and rebellion. And the title of the sculpture quotes activist and suffragette Charlotte Despard. So suffragettes were often portrayed as cats in popular media.
Okay.
And the word catty is still used as a derogatory term towards women. The black cat is also a symbol of the occult, a bad omen, and yet conversely also a good luck charm.
So yes, and also very much connected to witches, of course, which is another derogatory way of talking about women who were just really resourceful.
So I really like this, and there's something in this cat's facial expression as well, which isn't cute. And I don't know if you've noticed at Somerset House at the moment, they've got this exhibition on called Cute, which is about the rise in cute being a popular form of media. This cat is not cute.
It's not cute.
It's it's the cat that you'd probably avoid on your street because you think it might scratch your face off. But yeah, I particularly enjoy that one.
Yes, me too. Well, when we'll find out when they're going to announce it? We'll talk about that in the future show, maybe.
I'm not too sure, but you can go and see the models up until the 17th of March, and you can actually vote for your favourite as well.
So this is
by public vote, and you don't have to live inside London to vote for that. Interestingly, they ask you the reasons why you've chosen whichever one you do choose. But yeah,
cool.
I voted already. Guess which one I voted for?
The cat.
Couldn't possibly say.
Okay, let's have some more music, and we're going to set the bird free with Sia.
A broken thing, had a voice, had a voice, but I could not sing. You would want me down. I struggled on the ground. Oh, so lost a line, help and cross. Had a voice, but I could not talk. You held me down. I struggled to fly now. Oh, but there's a scream inside. We are dried out. We hold on so tight. Alive. Oh, it eats us alive. Oh, it's just a swim inside. We are dried out. We hold on so tight. But I don't wanna die, no. I don't wanna die, I don't wanna die, yeah. And I don't care
Phoenix FM.
The directors and management at Brentwood Town Football Club wish to offer you an invitation. Come and join us at the Arena Brentwood and support your local team. We're your local community club and a warm, friendly welcome awaits you. Brentwood Town are looking to mount a serious push for promotion this season. Admission is only £10 for adults and accompanied children under 16 are free. Entrance is just £5 for concessions and students, and unaccompanied under 16s can get in for only £3. So join us and be part of our journey.
EV Charging Systems, your local, independent and experienced specialist home and workplace charge point suppliers and installers. With over 1,000 installations throughout Essex and East London and a 5-star excellent Trustpilot rating, we provide great personal service and are committed to help Essex drivers go green. Visit www.evchargingsystems.co.uk or call us on 01268 710 459. Install, charge and go with EV Charging Systems.